We live in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, for actually 16 years. We spent 4 of those years in Hermosillo. In Phoenix, they grow a lot of flowers commercially for cut flowers that are actually shipped to New York for florist businesses. A lot of oranges and grapefruits. It was wonderful to drive by the orange orchards when they were blooming. There's nothing equal to that sweet smell that would drift across even the highway from those huge orchards. We had a neighbor across the street from us that had a grapefruit tree, and it was always loaded with grapefruit every year. And Loretta loved grapefruit, and this neighbor says, "I don't like it. You come get all you want." So we enjoyed that. But there was a very, very large greenhouse there. I'm sure more than one, but I knew of this one. And I had opportunity to be invited to visit this greenhouse. It was the time of year when they were growing commercially poinsettias. And they opened the door, and I'm saying this was a huge, huge greenhouse. And it was literally a sea of beautiful, full-grown, full-blossom poinsettias. Just couldn't imagine the beauty. But you know something? There was a ambiente that produced that. And for those of you that don't know Spanish, that means the surrounding environment. The temperature controlled. The humidity controlled. The light and the darkness controlled. It took a certain surrounding environment, carefully under control, to produce a sea of beautiful, beautiful poinsettias. What's my point? What we're dealing with in this particular area of child training, because it deals with the husband, father, the wife, mother, what we're dealing with is God's standards for a greenhouse in which to raise your children. And let me just say it plainly. God knows what He's doing. He knows the best environment in which to train your children. And you can tinker with it. You can change the humidity. You can change how much darkness and light they're getting. And I'll guarantee you, you will not have beautiful poinsettias. And you can tinker with God's standard as He has put it forth in His Word in terms of the husband, the father, the wife, the mother have certain standards to live up to. And you can neglect them, you can ignore them, and suffer the consequences. You won't get a beautiful sea of poinsettias just before Christmas. Now, in light of that, we were studying and talking about this word train. Train. And by way of some review, because it's been a while, that word train can mean dedicate. So it means literally in your mind, your heart, your soul, getting together for a dedication or whatever. But it means you're giving that child back to God. That puts things in the right context. It's his child. He is the one that gave it life in the womb and caused it to be born. But it doesn't mean just praying for your child once. And I've done that. No, it means the practice of praying much, much for your child. Praying for God's watchful care, direction, blessing. Praying that God will give you wisdom, discernment, understanding, and as I've often commented, literally praying, God help me to know about my children what I need to know when I need to know it. My parents prayed for me regularly. My grandparents prayed for me. I had particularly my paternal grandmother. We used to use a terminology that's kind of old-fashioned. Probably haven't heard it. Sometimes you would refer to someone as being a prayer warrior. Prayer warrior. Went before God daily and prayed. And my grandma prayed for me. That's a very important ingredient in the matter of child training, and we're brought to that as a continuing dedication of that child and pleading with God for his mercies. There's much to pray about when it has to do with our children. Now, this situation of prayer is referred to particularly as it has to do with the husband's responsibility or the father's responsibility. Look at 1 Peter, if you will. First Peter 3, verse 7. And you husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. That's pretty straightforward language, isn't it? The neglect of husbands and dads fulfilling their role and dwelling with their wife with, I'm going to say, spiritual wisdom and understanding and making allowance for it as God would give you wisdom and discernment. You can neglect that. And forget it. And be careless. This says your prayers are going to be hindered as a result. There's a price to pay. And it's a warning. And we want, whether husband or wife, whether mom or dad, We want to be in a place where our prayers are going to be effective as we raise our children, as we train them, and see them grow up into teenagers and then adults and take their place in life, knowing and serving the Lord. Now we're beginning to see, if we're thinking about what I emphasized at the very beginning, this ambiente, this prevailing atmosphere, the temperature, the moisture, the light, plant food, whatever. Parallel that with your child. And God is saying, here are the essential ingredients. Mom and dad, husband and wife. Demonstrating. Practicing in front of their children the relationship that God expects there to be in your home. And you know, I'm sure of this, that probably not just, shall I say, infrequently, but very frequently, we underestimate the perception that children have. Children are observing and picking up. That's a phrase that we used to use a lot. Where did you pick that up? But they're observing. They're absorbing, so to speak, this atmosphere that exists in the home. And it's either helping you in the training of your child or it's hindering you. One or the other. Isn't it amazing how quick children can pick up things? For instance, kid comes home, he spurts out a bad word. Where did he get that? School. He heard some other child say it. As soon as he got home, he can't wait to try it out. He finds out that wasn't too smart. But they're observing. They're hearing. They're imitating. Great imitators of what they see going on. And it's day by day being ingrained into the fiber of their being. And what's taking place, let me ask you, is that contributing to the training of the children? Enhancing it? Or is it negating what you're trying to accomplish in your child? So we see the importance of the environment. Is it a biblical environment? Is it according to God's word? What about your praying? Do they hear you pray? And when they hear you pray, what do they hear? Is it a sincere, heartfelt prayer, or is it phony? They can tell. They can tell. They know. There has to be that sincerity and the heartfeltness as you pray, and you should pray regularly with your children. Read the scriptures. Bible stories when they're quite young. Do it faithfully. And spend time in prayer. Family prayer. Dad, leading. Getting everybody together. Let's read the scripture. Have mom read a Bible story. Talk about what we're going to pray about and pray about it. And those children are sitting there watching that and they're listening to that and they're absorbing certain elements that are being built into the very fiber of their being. Now, I think at this point we want to emphasize this matter of the wife's subjection in the home. Wives, be subject in subjection to your own husbands. Now hear me well. I'm going to ask a question. What kind of husband? What kind of husband? Well, we see in the scriptures that God's standard for the husband. But what if he doesn't meet those standards? Does that give a license for you to take matters into your own hands and say, not going to do that, not me? Or should there be subjection anyway based on the responsibility that you have? Suppose your husband is unsaved and unreasonable to get along with. Still, the truth of the scripture is wives are to be in subjected to their own husband. What's the one area that you do not have to be in subjection? Is there an area? Yes. If he tries to cause you in some way to do that which is not biblical, which is against God's revealed will, then you do not have to be in subjection. Because God's authority supersedes the authority of the husband. And if he requires you to go shoplifting at Walmart, no, I'm not going to do that. You don't submit. Because God has said, thou shalt not steal. But in other cases, yes. Why? Because the scripture says, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they're not living a godly life. They may be won without a word by the behavior of the wife. Man, there's a lot of theology here. God can use that in a unique and unusual way to motivate, to convict in a very practical way their need of God and of Christ. You become the vessel that God may be pleased to use to bring about the conversion of your wife. In other words, it's a sermon live being preached. Because it's the outworking of God's truth and God's work in your life in a very practical way in causing you to be a very godly wife when he knows he's not being what he should be. So, again, do you not see what's happening if that's being carried out in terms of the godly environment that needs to be there, rather than an all-out fuss, fit fight, who knows what, throwing things, and your children see that? What do they think? Because you're sitting before them an example of everything that is not godly. So, again, I really can't tell you the importance of that environment in the home being godly. I hesitate to use this example. I really do. Sometimes I feel compelled to do so, because I know me and my family better than I know anybody else's. When we were living in Mexico, children were going to Mexican schools. And first of all, we put them in a small private school a year behind where they would have normally been, and so they could get a grasp of Spanish. And I will insert this because I think you'll find it kind of humorous. When we were getting ready to move to Mexico, I was trying to help my wife and my children learn some Spanish before we got there. And Louis kind of, he was very small, so he kind of got exasperated with me. He said to me one day, he says, "Dad, my mouth is not big enough to say those words." And we found that to be quite humorous because he was having trouble pronouncing the Spanish. But I want to just sit before you, and I hope you understand, that as they grew and as they were in higher grades, they had schools, had activities and places to go after school and come back and so forth. Well, this particular situation turned out it wasn't as well planned and supervised as it should have been, but they went to some activity off school grounds and across town somewhere else. And when they were supposed to notify the parents or take care of the children and get them back to school, they just turned them loose and said, "Get home best way you can." Well, my daughter came home quite past the time we expected. And I was a bit weak concerning the issue. And without fully examining the situation, I disciplined her. Then I came to the knowledge of what the situation really was. I said, "Lord, come here. Sit down here right beside me." I said, "I want to tell you something. Dad was wrong by jumping to conclusions and not finding out all the details before I jumped on you. And I said, I want you to forgive me." I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I say that to try to illustrate to you. Instead of just ignoring it and saying, "Oh, forget it." No. I looked her in the eye and I said, "I want you to forgive me for being too hasty with you." Folks, sometimes I have to call on these examples because I'm looking for something to cause you to see what needs to be taking place in the fiber of your home, of your family. Husband and wife relationship, relationship with your children. Now, you don't have to use military force in your home. It has to be firm, has to be strict, has to be certain. But it doesn't have to be a drill sergeant that is giving the orders. Having said that, and this is still a very important, vital aspect of this environment that I'm talking about, and that is this. You bring about in your family relationship with your husband, your wife, your children, and convey this is a team effort. And you're on my team. That goes a long way in terms of working together as a family to bring about this environment, the spirit of oneness within the family relationship. One of the things we did on the mission field was when we made these missionary trips back into the villages. It took us, we did this once a month. We actually drove a pickup with a camper and another passenger car or two on dirt roads almost all of Saturday to get to a village on Saturday afternoon. And evangelized by showing a film in the plaza of the Catholic Church. And I made mention of some other services that we rendered. But our children went with us. And we conveyed to them, guys, you're part of the team here. And there were certain responsibilities that we could give them to help do what needed to be done. Go out of your way to convey that. That's part of the environment that exists. We're a team. We work together. And you'll find that to be a very important ingredient. Now, concerning the wife's place of submission, I want to emphasize a very important aspect. The Lord said there in Genesis chapter 2, God says, it is not good for man to be alone. Who said that? Whose opinion was that? It was God's opinion. So God said, I will make him a helper. But there's another word, suitable. Suitable for him. That's very important, because you see, that submission that is required actually is fulfilling God's determination for the woman within the husband and wife relationship. And it's not because she is in any way inferior. She's different. Different in a way that complements the man. And in the fulfilling of that submission, it becomes a place of honor. Because it's a fulfilling of God's will. And if the wife and the mother is not fulfilling that role, and in any way undermining the authority of the husband and the father, you're destroying the environment in which God says this is the environment that children should be raised in. And you expect to turn out lovely little children? No. So we need to be very sensitive to it. It's the husband taking his place of leadership, headship of the wife and the children. It's the wife being submissive to her husband and the father. I can't really tell you how much importance we need to put on the environment. So let's pray and ask God to show us His will and purpose in our lives. What a wonderful thing it is to see children being brought up in the Lord. When I was at the church in Phoenix, we had a youth group of about 50 young people. Very active youth group. So active that I put together a team of parents to help me with the carrying on of the activities and all that we did. And I met with them frequently, the parents. And I said, you can come and work with us as sponsors. I said, I want to tell you something. I said, young people can bring the greatest, deepest joy that you'll ever know in life. Or experience on a human level. And I said, they can hurt you. They can really hurt you. And I said, if you're not prepared for the hurt, then don't become a sponsor. Because it will happen. Why would I say that? Because we don't want it to happen. We don't want it to happen to our children and to our grandchildren. We want them to grow up godly, knowing and serving God, bringing honor to Him, to the parents. So, a lot to think about, a lot to pray about. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we ask now that you write these truths upon our minds and hearts and use them to bring about godly homes, godly families, husbands and wives, loving and serving you, loving and serving each other. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.